Welcome back to episode 3 of season 2 of Hopped On Sports. Got a fun show here tonight. Gonna have a beer, talk a fun weekend of sports. I think Steven's ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
So let's get right into it, man. What are you drinking over there?
Good old reliable, man. I went with the Dos Equis today. Something about it. It sounded good while I was at work. And I thought, you know what? Haven't done it yet in 2020, and we're gonna do that. So I went to the gas station, which is my favorite thing about Dos Equis, is you can get it anywhere, and voila.
There you go. Plain and simple. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going with an Alpine beer company beer called Truck Trail. I've never had this before. It's a pale ale, 5.5%. And really interesting. It's got a good little flavor to it, little kick. I like it, really do. I thought I'd had a couple beers from them, and I looked it up. It looked like I'd only had one other one.
Alpine?
Yeah, out of California. But it's cool. It's good beer, simple and to the point. So
yeah, I've not had that one before.
Yeah. Well, cheers, man.
Cheers.
Woo. Now,
I'll never get tired of this beer.
Now, we're a really fun weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Of watching sports. Chiefs absolutely put it on. I think it's hard to say that.
Did they?
Well, here, let me get what I'm trying to say out here. So, Patrick Mahomes obviously is, he's Superman, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he can do it all. He showed that a fantastic play right before the half, running down the field, using his legs and scoring. It was absolutely a phenomenal play. Really poor tackling on top of that, but for him to have the presence to realize he had plenty of room to run after he got around that corner, he made a play, man. They scored the touchdown, and they never really looked back after that. So.
Yeah. Well, he had a 27-yard rushing touchdown.
I know.
And like you said, it was crazy because I thought twice, oh, he's done. And he just made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, I mean, to me, that completely deflated the Titans.
Yeah. Now, that was kind of the final nail in the coffin after blowing a 10-0 lead to start that game. I mean, Titans came out and did whatever they wanted. I mean, it was really, really incredible. I thought they were about to shock the world and win another game. But Chiefs, they just continue to show that they can play from behind. And, you know, once they get going, they're hard to stop. What I was trying to say originally was I think the statement the Chiefs made there shows that they've got to be the favorite going into the Super Bowl. And after looking right here, they are actually the 1-point favorite so far going in. So
okay,
I don't want to say it's surprising just because how dominant the Niners have looked as of late. But I don't know. I just don't know how you bet against Patrick Mahomes. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it was only a 1-point difference because I was going to disagree with you. Aside from Vegas on thinking that the Chiefs should be the favorite, they are obviously a good team. They're a powerful team, but I just think the 49ers have shown enough grit. I think, that they're looking really similar back to, what was it? 2014 Denver Broncos Super Bowl team. I just think, I don't know. I don't see it happening. I don't see the Chiefs beating them. The Chiefs have shown that they cannot play a whole game to their fullest. I don't know why that is. It tends to be the first, second quarter. They struggle. And then Mahomes, you're right. I mean, he is an animal. He is a great quarterback. He's clutch. But if they come out and play a full game, that's the only way they're beating the 49ers because they will mess up against that defense.
Well, see, that's what I was going to ask you is – is the Chiefs three quarters of play better than the Niners, you know, four quarters?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't either. I do agree that they are going to have to play a more complete game. Got to get off to a quicker start. They've gone back-to-back games falling, basically starting as bad as you possibly could, and somehow found a way to come back and win both those games.
Right.
But if the Niners, now I believe the Niners will slow him down. I think Mahomes will have end up having a pretty good game, more yards than
Rodgers
than you really think. But you know, I don't know. This team is just, they're so gifted on offense. I mean, Tyreek Hill, is he not just incredible?
Oh yeah.
I'm sitting there watching him run around, and I'm like, man, I can't believe he went to OSU for a little bit. You know, I mean, that just crazy to think that you guys had this, you know, world class track athlete.
Well,
you
he
know,
cost,
running around.
He cost OU a Bedlam win. Well, I mean, he technically
Bob cost.
Yeah, I was gonna say I wouldn't say that Tyreek did it,
but
Bob
Tyreek,
did it.
Yeah, but Tyreek, yes, absolutely crushed everyone's spirit and Norman on that punt return. But.
Right. So the Packers, 49ers, I watched the game, obviously, and like we talked about on our last show, I think that I kind of nailed it a little bit when I said it was just going to be a very boring game to watch. I don't know. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did.
It, to me, was awful. Especially as a Packers fan, just sitting there knowing, okay, they're just deflating us. They are just deflating us as a team, making Rodgers look like he doesn't know what he's doing. And I mean, to me, you know, Rodgers is he's an experienced, he's a veteran quarterback. He's tends to be one of the best in the league in a pressured situation, you know. But I think I look at Mahomes in that sense and I go, he's still young. He obviously plays like nothing bothers him, but he's about to face his ultimate test, the biggest test he's faced, obviously, in his career so far. And I just have a tough time thinking Rodgers can't do it. I don't know if Mahomes can do it, because Rodgers, here's the thing, he didn't have, you know, he didn't have 4 seconds ever. I mean, you know, they say, what, how are you going to beat this team? We're going to throw a little 5-yard slants. When you don't have time in the pocket to throw a 5-yard slant, you're not going to be able to do anything. And that's what this defense is so good at, is just completely shutting down the quarterback. And, you know, you've got Richard Sherman, which, did you see him get called out, by the way?
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Okay. But yeah, I don't know. I think that I'm still a fan of the saying defense wins championships, and I don't think there's any question in my mind that 49ers defense is better than the Chiefs. So I don't know if
you
Mahomes
know,
can overcome it.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I do agree. I mean, I don't think anyone would disagree. The Niners defense is, you know, light years better than the Chiefs defense, but the Chiefs defense are making stops when it matters most.
Yeah, they are.
And that's the only way you can get by and actually still win a game when you've got such a great offense like they do. As long as that defense is making the important stops, you can still win. So I get why they're the opening favorite, KC, but man, I'd have a tough time not going with the Niners. They just seem like the more complete team. When you've got Jimmy G throwing 8 pass attempts in a game.
Right.
You know, and winning.
Well, that's all.
Scoring 37 points and winning.
Right.
That's pretty impressive.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it's not like his defense is spending as much time on the field. I'd be interested to know how much time they spend on the field compared to other teams. I would think not much in comparison, just because they're a force. But, oof. Yeah, Richard Sherman, what were you saying you were going to say about that?
No, well, just obviously, yeah. You had Revis call out Sherman on Twitter, talking about his coverage and lack of coverage, and playing more of a cover, what would he call it, a cover 2, I believe.
Cover 3, probably.
Was it a 3? And just not saying, like, dude, he was like, man, you need a man up, blah, blah, blah.
Like, literally play man-to-man.
Yeah, as opposed to trying to play this soft zone-type defense. And, I mean, Sherman fired right back. Was like, hey, I was going to go all in on this, but, you know, I've got a Super Bowl to prepare for, and discussed how his 9th year in the league looked a lot different than Revis's 9th year.
Right, exactly.
Which I do have to agree in a sense with that. Because
with Revis or Sherman?
No, with Sherman on that call. Revis went from being, you know, the top guy. I mean, Revis Island, all that talk. No one wanted to throw his way. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, he was just done. Like, yeah. It just happened so quick. Sherman is finding a way to stay relevant and play at a high level still. Yeah. So, I mean, as much as I don't like him, I got to tip my hat to him because he can still really play at a high level.
Yeah. And, you know, to me, when I read that, I thought, Revis, dude, you're talking smack against a guy who is clearly great talent. I mean, one of the best. Quarterbacks don't like to throw to his side. So, you think he has the true choice of whether he wants to go man or not? You know what I mean? That's on the coach. That's on the defensive coordinating. They've gone into this game with a plan. Obviously, the plan worked. And guess what? They're a three-loss team on the season. So, whatever they're doing is right. You know, do I want to shut Devontae Adams down, or do I want a Super Bowl ring? You know what I mean? I'm doing what I've got to do for my team to get a Super Bowl ring, and that's win. And obviously our strategy is working. So, you know, put your fingers away, Revis. He was being an idiot when he said that, and I don't know if he's searching for attention or he's about to release a book or what, but obviously he's a fool.
Yeah, he had to make himself known. Yeah, no, both games, obviously the Chiefs game ended up being a little closer than the 49ers-Packers, but both games were pretty decent. Titans got up on up early on the Chiefs, and you kind of felt like, oh boy, you know, here goes the Chiefs blowing it in the postseason again. But they stormed back, and then unfortunately Packers just – you didn't really ever think they had a chance.
No, I didn't think they had a chance going into the game, and I said that, unfortunately. What a tough one. You know, Packers only put up 8 points against the 49ers the first time they played, so I don't know what else you could expect. But I think Rodgers is, honestly, I think he's starting to slow down a little bit as a quarterback. I don't know that he's got all the same tendencies that he had 5 years ago. I think he's obviously still capable of winning games, but overall, do you think I'm not going to say he's done, but his value is dropping tremendously.
This was such a weird year for the Packers because, you know, 13-3, very skilled, obviously. I mean, you don't just accidentally go 13-3, but at the same time, you just never really felt like they were a real threat.
Right.
It was just weird because, like, you're like, oh, well, they've got Aaron Rodgers. So you're like, oh, yeah, so they're going to be competitive. But, I mean, from start to finish of this game, they didn't belong there. I mean, they did not look like the 13-3 team that we all, you know, were expecting them to be, especially this time of year.
Well, now, I would argue, and I think a lot of people would agree with me, that, and we talked about this a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but the Packers were extremely fortunate to be a 13-3 team. To be a three-loss team, extremely fortunate. And the only reason they were is because of Rodgers. Rodgers and the two Aarons, Aaron Jones, just ran his freaking brains out this year. But, you know, I say Rodgers is losing value. He's still one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, Dallas would trade Dak for him in a heartbeat. But in the grand scheme of things, he is not on the same caliber as he was when they signed him to that major contract. And so I'd be interested to see what happens over the next 2 years with him.
Well, clearly, I mean, like, if you have to, like, if you had the opportunity to change something right now with the Packers, what's your first move? Like, you helping the offensive line?
No.
You getting another receiver?
Yeah, I need a receiver. I need a receiver. Not multiple. I need another decent receiver, you know, get somebody, not a great receiver. Devontae Adams is a great receiver. He really is.
Right.
And I just say that to make it a little easier on Rodgers because he forces a lot of passes. And I think that, you know, you get somebody like Landry or even Odell. Odell obviously is a superior receiver, but I don't know, somebody like Amari Cooper, who's not spectacular, but he's obviously got good hands. He can play ball. With the right quarterback, would be a heck of a lot better than he has been at Dallas, even though he's played well. I think that would help Rodgers out tremendously.
Yeah.
Because but the thing is, with injuries this year and a lot of receiving injuries, Rodgers made the best out of the situation and somehow only lost three games. So I think – but when you watch the Packers, you go, man – he gets rushed a lot. Like, they are on his case the whole game. So I don't want to say anything bad about the offensive line, but at the same time, you look at how much and how often he gets rushed, and you kind of start to think, well, maybe something needs to be changed there. I'd say overall, the team as a whole is obviously a good team, but, you know, nitpicking and saying, what do I want to change? I'd say, you know, you look at the receivers and you look at the offensive line. I think those are two of the most important parts of a football team anyhow.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, they could not stop the run either. So even though they played so much better defenses here, they could not stop the run. We've seen this happen to Packers defenses throughout the years. So, I mean, that's obviously something that has to be addressed as well.
Yeah, but I mean, when the only reason I didn't say anything about that was because for me to say what's one thing I want to change about the Packers, if I'm talking individual players,
right.
saying I want to change our run defense, oh boy, that's a big time strategy. And obviously that is something that needs to be improved. It's something that needed to be improved all year. And then Coleman, you know, all those guys, they just ran all over the Packers, and Coleman got hurt, and it, to me, it looked like a pretty nasty injury. I didn't see what ended up being reported on that. But yeah, there's a lot that could be changed, but you know, first year coach to win the NFC title was pretty good. Obviously not the overall title, but the NFC North.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They did a lot of good things. Make Rodgers' life a little easier. Find a way to get some talent around him and see if you can't run it back next year and do something, because they were obviously good. They just, you know, weren't elite like the Niners are this year.
You know, speaking of goated quarterbacks, though, I never thought the day would come, and we discussed it a little bit last year before the season even started, but Tom Brady is open for negotiations with new teams, and I never thought I would ever, ever, ever say that.
No, and I think it's ridiculous, too. I think if you're Brady, I know you love the game and all that, but if you can't figure it out with the Patriots,
retire.
Bro, just retire.
Yeah,
you know what
you
I mean?
You have a serious, serious legacy.
There's something about, you know, let me think how to phrase this. There's something about playing with one team just because it's so rare, and especially nowadays, even some of the greats are even playing multiple teams and things like that. It's just like Brady, you've done it all. You've proved, you know, what kind of player you are. You're the greatest quarterback of all time. It's like, what else do you have to do? Why go play one more year somewhere else where most likely it's not even going to matter? Because who's going to pick up Brady for 1 year and be competitive?
Yeah.
Like what team? Like think of the top teams that who could actually go compete for a championship today. Who needs a quarterback? Who's going to take 1 year with Brady?
Right. Well, you know? I mean, the Broncos. Think of it. I was thinking about this the other day. The Broncos have been a serious talk for him, and I haven't looked into all the logistics and what could be going down with that. But
well, just think about
you
this,
look at
though.
Peyton Manning and what Peyton Manning did, and he played for the Colts for all those years, and then all of a sudden, off he goes to Denver, and Denver wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and that's the team that I was just talking about.
They were ready for a quarterback.
They were
like they were one piece away from being able to win the championship. That defense was so good, but now like what the Titans. I mean, that's the only team I'm thinking about. Imagine if Tom Brady was playing quarterback for the Titans this year.
Yeah, I mean,
are they the one team that you could say that legitimately had a shot?
Yeah, I was honestly expecting I was expecting a little better fight out of the Titans through the whole game, but and they did. They fought hard, man. They only lost by what 10, 11,
nine,
and
or something.
Not yeah, something in that ballpark, but. Yeah, obviously that team's different with Tom Brady.
Yeah, it just I don't know. I mean, I just don't like it. I just don't think it makes any sense. And I don't know why the Patriots, they didn't lose this year because of Brady. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
I know he didn't have his best year, but at the same time, it's not like they were they don't have any talent on offense.
He might have had his worst year actually.
It wasn't worse. If you actually look at his stats, they're not terrible. I mean, it's actually, kind of like a Tom Brady, a guy who's, 42 years old or whatever. I mean, it's kind of what you would expect out of someone like him. I don't know. I just, they didn't have pieces around him this year. And, I mean, he you talked about getting rushed a lot. It just seemed like there's so many times I watched, he just never had time to throw.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's funny because I know we're flip-flopping back and forth, but when I think of Brett Favre and all the time he spent with the Packers, and then all of a sudden he's playing for the Vikings, and just a little piece of me died with that. I still look at Brett Favre the same, but at the same time, I look at Brett Favre as a Packer and then a Viking, so he's kind of a Packer. But
what about a Jet?
Well, I know, and that's what's so crazy is...
nobody even, like, thinks about that. That's just ridiculous.
No, that's a good point. I mean, the dude wouldn't give up, and I respect the heck out of that. And I know he was not ready to lay the game down, and the Packers were ready for a new quarterback. And
well, they had Aaron Rodgers.
He was old, yeah, and they were ready to let him play, and obviously it was the right move. But, you know, Favre went to the Vikings, and he played.
He had an MVP-type year.
Yeah, he played. So it'd be interesting. I almost a piece of me wants to see Brady go somewhere like the Bengals or go somewhere like the Browns and just show everybody, look, I'm the greatest, and this is why. You know, go to a team that hasn't won and then get them into the playoffs. And, you know, I mean, that would prove a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Part of me is excited and thinking maybe Brady is going to go play somewhere else.
I know. I hate that. I guess I'm more of just like an old soul, and I just hate to see, like, I just can't imagine seeing him put on another jersey.
I know, but the only thing I would hope for is if he goes to play for another team, I hope he tears it up, because there's the Rodgers versus Brady debate, and obviously I'm a Packers fan, but if Brady really wants to prove, look, dude, I'm the best by far, bar none, quit the conversations, go play with the team that's struggling a little bit and take them to the playoffs.
It'd be impressive. I just, you know, at some point you got to be like, you know, What am I really? Am I just playing because I want to play? Is that really how I want to be remembered? That I went and played one, maybe 2 years somewhere else, and unless you win a championship, it doesn't really matter, you know.
Yeah.
In the eyes of a lot, it would be impressive to lead a team to a playoffs. That's right. Not the Patriots, but I don't know. I don't like it.
But then you look at the grand scheme of things, and you see, I mean, the dude doesn't need any money.
No. Nope.
He's married to one of the hottest women on this planet.
Yep.
You know, he's got a family. He's got everything he needs. He doesn't have anything left to prove. He's got, what, six rings now?
Six.
Six rings, and, I mean, you could retire, and nobody's going to say a word. He's still going to have his haters, but, yeah, I'm willing to say that I don't even think there's a question. He's the best. Look at his rings. He's had a great coach. Everything's worked out perfect. Cheat, not cheat, whatever. Six rings speaks pretty loud.
Yep, absolutely. Well, because we're talking about this and talking about the Super Bowl, that means there is only one game left.
One.
Of the football year.
Until.
Meaningful.
Until meaningful the XFL.
Yep, that's true.
Which
we're about to be a big XFL podcast.
I don't know about that, but we'll
I gotta have something, man.
We'll talk a little bit about it.
Yeah,
I'm interested in watching Stoops' team, but I don't know anything else about the league.
Yeah,
in general,
have to do a little recon on the XFL, and just we will be just a big XFL podcast.
Yeah,
we'll see. But no, in all seriousness, are you excited for the Pro Bowl this weekend?
Oh yeah, dude. No, not one bit. I think
I couldn't tell you the last time I watched a full Pro Bowl.
You know, I actually watched a little bit of it last year, and it's tough. It's just tough. It's cool because you see some of your favorite players, but nobody's playing, man. Nobody cares, and they respect each other enough to say, I'm not gonna hurt you. You're not gonna hurt me. We got a season to play next year. I've seen some injuries in the Pro Bowl, and that's a brutal way to go down. I mean, you know, yeah, you got a lot of time to heal and whatnot, but and there's been a time or two where I've seen some guys put a shellacking on somebody, and I'm thinking, dude, you want to start a fight? That's a good way to do it. I mean, there have been a couple hard hits in the Pro Bowl, but the game in general is completely different now than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah,
I would have watched it then, and I did.
I don't even know what format they play now. You know, they were doing the draft, they were doing this and that to try to make things more interesting. It's just bad, man. It's all around just bad.
You know, quite honestly, I think something they could do that would make it a lot more fun to watch, and I'm not exaggerating, is I think if they actually played flag football, it would be more entertaining. because these guys wouldn't have to be worried about getting hit. They could still run. You know, they'd all they'd have to worry about is tearing an ACL, you know, turning on a route. But those guys would go out there and they'd be ready to play and have fun. And I think it'd be fun to watch.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people dog on the NBA All-Star game. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a lot of moments where it's terrible.
Oh,
but,
I'll watch it.
But, like, I always watch. And when they get serious, that last, like, you know, 6 to 8 minutes or whatever in the fourth, it's exciting, man.
Yeah. 2 years ago, the last 5 minutes of that game was about as fun of basketball as you could watch as an NBA fan. I mean, LeBron, these guys were going at it, and LeBron actually called for a review. He threw his hands up like, no, we're in the final 2 minutes. We're reviewing that. And these guys were playing hard. Like, the last 2 minutes, you're thinking these guys are playing like it's the NBA Finals.
No, exactly. I mean, a little pride gets on the line. Who knows about the side bets and things like that.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I mean, for real, the Pro Bowl's got to do something. It's got to do something.
Pathetic.
Because it's poor football. It's not that entertaining. They gotta find a way to get viewers to, you know, tune in and stay tuned in, because I turned it on just because it's football and, you know, it's something going on, but it quickly becomes, okay, well, let's see what Netflix is up to.
Yeah. I mean, I think, personally, flag football is the way to go. I know that sounds lame.
It's not a terrible idea.
It sounds lame, but I seriously think it would be a fun way to do it. They could still wear their helmets and, you know, maybe pads, maybe not, but... I think it would be fun to watch. I really do. You know, these quarterbacks, they'd be able to throw a little more risky throws across the middle, knowing their receiver wasn't going to get lit up. And, I don't know. I'd be interested. Maybe I ought to send that recommendation in.
Yeah. Let's get that in.
Use the Hopped On Sports sway to try to get things going for the, how would I word that? Whatever. For a better game.
I don't know, but you and I were just talking about this before the show started. Obviously, we're recording this Monday, and it's Martin Luther King Day. And they started all the NBA games early, and so it was kind of exciting because you just got stuff going on at 4 o'clock and even before that, I think. However, the Thunder game started at 4.
Whoa, look at that.
And they are winning by 1 point with a minute left at this point. Steve and I were just talking, and they were getting crushed, and I knew this kind of was what was to expect because the Thunder are down a big man, Noel, and then in the first 2 minutes of the game, they lose Steven Adams. And so we were, like, sitting there. I was like, oh, I kind of expected this to happen as soon as I saw Steven Adams was out. However, they stormed back. They're winning. I'm actually very upset right now that I haven't seen what was going on.
Hey, put that here so I can
see
it, too.
How we miss this going, but... We do have it on my phone right now. We are going to continue talking.
Live look at
but
the Thunder.
But we are watching the Thunder game as well.
And,
so.
You know, the Thunder beat the Rockets just a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
Yep. Russ's return back to OKC.
Yeah.
Now they're in Houston here tonight. And
is Russ playing in this?
Yeah, he was. In fact, he killed it first half. He was 8 for 10 shooting, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists in the first half. So.
You know how upset he's going to be if he doesn't beat the Thunder this year? I mean, you know, a little piece of him is dying right now knowing that the Thunder just took the lead. Going, this is killing me. Because he was showing some emotions in that last game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was frustrated. He ended up going to the end of the bench, wasn't even walking to the huddles. He wanted to come out and beat the Thunder, which I understand. But I got so much respect for that guy. That didn't bug me one bit.
Yep. I'll tell you what, Chris Paul, man, I don't know where he's at right now, but he had 27 points in the first half and just was absolutely putting it on. So I imagine he has a pretty good, pretty big part in this second half. They've outscored the Rockets 35-18 in this quarter.
Wow.
That's impressive.
So, I mean, we could sit here and literally do a play-by-play, but I don't want to put people to sleep.
Right.
Let's do a little bit of discussing on what we watched together this weekend and how, I don't want to even say incredible, but how interesting the night went. And that is UFC, what was it, 246?
246,
with Conor McGregor and Cowboy Cerrone. Donald Cerrone, man. What a fight. You called it last week, I guess it was last week. You said McGregor first round knockout. I would call BS on you, but I saw how much money you put on the fight, and it looked like it worked out for you pretty well. So, if you guys didn't see the fight, just go to YouTube, go to Twitter, type in McGregor. You could even go to Instagram. You can watch the whole fight. You're not even going to have to go to Instagram TV.
There won't even be an advertisement.
It does not hit the 1 minute warning, so you'll be fine. And I got to say, props to McGregor, man. He had a lot of doubt, a lot of haters going into this. A lot of people thought he wasn't going to do it. You know, Cowboy obviously is a great fighter, but McGregor had a point to prove, and he came out and he proved it. And what a class act from both sides, Cerrone and McGregor. McGregor had a nice talk with Cerrone's grandma after the fight, which I thought was pretty cool. They shook hands before, they shook hands after. It was really cool to see a big fight go down like that with all the false and fake hype and promotion that goes into those. Like, I just thought it was cool. You got two guys respected each other before the fight, after the fight. You know, one of them got their butt whipped. Actually, pretty daggum crazy. Cerrone got his nose broken by Connor's elbow.
Yeah, well, shoulder.
Well, I meant shoulder, yeah. Sorry, not elbow. Yeah. But McGregor came out and he throws a Superman punch. Didn't really land. And all of a sudden, he catches Cowboy with three shoulders to the nose in a row. He broke his nose on the second one. But how often do you see a punch by the shoulder to the nose?
No, I mean, not very often.
Not often at all. And you just saw it happen three times in a row within 5 seconds. And then a left kick to the jaw, which really that kind of did it. And then McGregor just got on him and started meleeing him. And, you know, good for Herb Dean. I was really glad to see he actually let Cowboy take a little bit of a beating before he called the fight, because so many times in big fights like that, you'll see one of the guys gets advantage, he lays a couple hits, and the ref will step in and call the fight, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, he was still defensive. This was not the case in this fight, and he, you know, you could argue that maybe he let a couple too many hits go, but big-time fight like this, you know, as much money as they're making, I'm okay with Cowboy taking a couple extra licks just in case he was good to go. He, you know, seen a couple times that situation, the guy that's getting meleed on, he rolls out and then ends up winning the fight. So, yeah. Herb Dean, I think he's one of the most unappreciated people in sports. I really do. He is so vital to that sport, and he knows it so well. He does such a good job calling those fights, and there's a reason he's in the ring with all the big boys or the octagon. It's just because he's legit. And when I think UFC, honestly, I kind of think of his face before I think of a lot of fighters' faces. You know, maybe I might think of McGregor's first, but, I mean, you know who I'm talking about,
oh,
Dean,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
guy
absolutely.
With the dreads. Yep. He's just, what a stud. So, what were your overall thoughts on the fight and how it went down?
You know, I knew this was, it was all or nothing for McGregor in this fight. He had to win this fight or else he was just done.
I mean,
like, this could have been I know we're being a little drastic saying career ender, but honestly, almost a career ender if he loses his fight. Just because he was going to have to work his way back and all that. And, you know, you could only lose so many times and still be able to draw, the big crowd. So
I think what you're saying, and I agree with you, is it would have been a career ender by choice. He would have laid down the gloves.
Right. It would have been like, you know, The draw wouldn't be the same because you can't give him a huge big fight after that, after losing to Donald. So I just knew that he was going to go out there, he's going to be ready to go. And I knew Cowboy was going to be aggressive. I mean, he said it himself, he was going to be aggressive. And he had an opportunity there early to try to make it interesting. And man, he got caught. And that was it, man. I mean, got his nose broke in the first 20 seconds. And then, I mean, you're done. I mean, you know, I mean, his nose was already bleeding, and it was just like, boy, real quick, we got to pause.
Can you believe what we just witnessed?
No, I can't. Thunder come back, win this game. I can't even tell you. I love seeing Houston lose.
That at the beginning of this podcast, we opened the score. Thunder are losing by 15.
Yeah.
Midway through the podcast, we decided, let's check the score. And whoa. I mean, well, the Thunder just win by 5. Russ is smiling after the game for some reason.
I just want to say it was a 3-point game, and Russ was dribbling around and then took some ridiculous off-balance 3.
Russ.
Which, yeah, I just do not miss that at all from Russ. that was nice. But yeah, what a win. Good win for the Thunder.
Props to Chris Paul, man. Like I said last episode, I wasn't super hyped when I found out we were getting him in trade of Russell Westbrook plus a couple people, but he has made the most out of this situation. And like I said last week, my opinion of Sam Presti has swayed tremendously. I'm starting to think pretty highly of him. He's just making the most out of the situation. And Chris Paul, gotta say, he's obviously going to be a Hall of Famer for good reason. Yeah.
He's a leader, man. That's for sure. I mean, he really knows how to kind of take the young guys under him, and it's showing right now because they're balling out.
I say obviously. You think Chris Paul's going to be a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, no, he is.
I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be.
Yeah, he will be.
Yeah, cool.
But anyway, back to the fight, though. Yeah. I knew McGregor, like I said, had to win this fight, and, I mean, he came out, and he looked good, and, man, those shoulders landing. I mean, you land one of those, you knew he was hurt. Then that kick, man. I mean, he showed a little bit of everything, and you know him obviously not getting tagged at all. It could be a pretty quick turnaround. I saw today that they said he's going to fight by summer.
Yeah.
So, that was the big conversation. Obviously, going into today, or everyone's talking about it, but the big conversation I want to talk to you about was, who do you think his next fight is?
So. Last week I was talking a little bit and you cut me off and said we were off topic. I didn't see how we were, but in regards to what I was talking about, Floyd Mayweather posted on his Instagram and said, Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, round 2.
2020.
But here's the thing. He put UFC on it, so he didn't put boxing. He put at the bottom of it, he had UFC. And I think we all know that that's not happening. I don't think that McGregor is ever going to be in an octagon with Floyd Mayweather. However, if Floyd is serious about this, I've got a whole new respect for him. Because think about it. He could go in and fight McGregor, and maybe they could agree to stay on their feet, and he would say, hey, I'll fight you if we don't go down. But it would not affect his boxing record.
Right.
You know, what if they agreed to a hugging boxing match with no takedowns? And I know that that's not what the UFC is about, but if they mutually agreed on it and stood to it as gentlemen, then what the heck, let's make it happen, man. You know, McGregor, go out there and McGregor would be at advantage in my opinion, because you got 5 minutes and the ref ain't separating you if you hug me. So right. That's all Mayweather did the whole time against McGregor was he got in close and then the ref had to come in and separate him. Mayweather kept getting hit by McGregor when they were up close, and the ref said, hey, McGregor, cut it out. You're going to get docked. But ultimately, I think that McGregor is going to be fighting Masvidal, Jorge Masvidal, however you say it. I don't see anything else happening other than that, but I think I would love to see some type of fight between McGregor and Mayweather again. I just would love it, but I really don't see it happening.
Yeah,
but
I don't either.
It's obviously in the conversation, though. If they're posting about it, we can't rule it out, because if we think back to 2015, they started talking about it, and we said, oh, you know, whatever, going to happen, and look what happened. So,
right. No, with that much money on the line, I will never say never.
Right.
But I think McGregor wants to really establish himself back in the MMA. And for that reason, I actually believe that Nate Diaz is the next fight.
Really?
I think Nate Diaz and him are going to go number 3. And it's a very important fight again for him to win, because, A, it kind of gives him, you know, the win in the series. It'll be, you know, it's 1-1 right now. It'd be 2-1 him. But I think he has to have one more fight, and then he has to go fight, I don't know. I mean, I just see this is what makes most sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I just I dislike Nate Diaz so much that at this point I don't even care if I get to see a third fight between them. I would love to see McGregor go out there and get the win, play the towel. Mm-hmm. But I don't see it happening next fight. I wouldn't rule it out completely, but I think that Jorge's got next bids, and then we'll see what happens from there. But yeah, it'd be cool to see a Diaz McGregor fight, but I honestly dislike him so much that I don't care what happens the rest of Diaz's career.
I really like Nate now. You know, I've always had respect for him, but after the whole couple fights with McGregor, it's really like I have a new appreciation for him. But the problem is Khabib is, you know, what McGregor's working towards. That's who he has to fight. That's who he has to beat.
That's who he wants to beat, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got to redeem himself after that loss. It's just what makes the most sense, and I just can't see that being the next fight.
No, I would agree.
I don't think Dana White wants any other fight right now except Khabib, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, money-wise, no, I'll tell you the fight that Dana White wants is McGregor-Mayweather in the octagon. It would be the biggest money event they've seen so far.
It'd be big, and, but, man, I'm so tired of these fake fight. I mean, it's, yeah, you know,
I'm with you.
It really, you know, I don't know, it just doesn't do anything. You kind of do that stuff at the end of your career.
But as far as what Dana White wants, he wants that. He wants that, and he wants that paycheck.
Well, he's already said, yeah, well, he would like that. Yes, obviously that'd be good for the business. But he's already said he thinks the Khabib fight is what makes most sense, and that's the fight he wants to make happen. So I it'd be awesome if that's what the fight is. Wait till July, get everyone ready for this, really build it up.
Yeah.
And hope McGregor can, you know, redeem himself.
Yeah.
Cuz McGregor loses, man. I'm just telling you. I just don't know where he goes from there, you know.
Yeah. Well, time will tell, you know. So I enjoyed watching the fights this weekend. I thought it was a good card.
It was a good card.
A lot of blood, which isn't necessarily the reason I watch it. In fact, it's not the reason I watch it all. Turns some people off to the sport in total. I know some people that don't watch it because it's too violent. But I appreciate it as a sport, so I'll watch it. And man, that girl fight, that I don't know either of their names right now, but the first fight between the girls was, what a brutal fight. I mean, there was a lot of blood, a lot of cuts.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing, man. It's funny. You just never know what to expect. There's so many fights that, so many pay-per-views that you don't really get a real bloody pay-per-view, but it really seemed like this one was a really good one.
Yeah, I would agree. What else is going on in the sports world that we need to discuss?
Man, you know, obviously, you know, we've already kind of touched on basketball, but this is becoming the time where you're really starting to find who's the pretenders and contenders. I just wanted to throw out on the way over here, I saw that the Lakers are interested in D. Rose. Trying to bring him over there. That would be an interesting move. I think the Lakers are maybe a piece away from, you know, being the team in the West.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're a piece away. I think they're there, but if they get another piece, they are definitely there.
Right. So it's going to be interesting to follow that. This week we are getting debut of your boy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. My dude, Zion Williamson, is going to be dribbling a basketball in the NBA for the first time in the regular season.
I was trying to see when that game was.
It's definitely, in my opinion, it's not getting enough hype because of the potential that he has. But, I mean, it's getting talked about, so.
Yeah, I want to say it's this weekend.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, they talked about last week. It might have been, they talked about 2 weeks ago. It might have been last week, but I'll believe it when I see it, and man, potential for that kid, and I'm looking forward to that for sure. But while you're looking that up, I want to talk about something real quick, and that's the Chili Bowl. If you guys don't know about the Chili Bowl, you're missing out big time. And what it is, it's a big time sprint car event. I don't want to get into all the specifics because I don't know them. I don't want to sound foolish, but it's dirt track racing. I say I don't want to sound foolish. I've gone to this race every year for 20 years, so I fully understand what it is. I just don't know all the terminology. It's at the Expo Square in Tulsa, where the Tulsa State Fair is, there's a two-layer building. In the bottom layer, they set up a quarter-mile track for quarter midgets. And, man, I'm telling you what, if you like sports, if you like racing, any kind of competition, this is top-notch. And I'm willing to say that anybody that likes any type of competition would enjoy going to this race, minus the amount of dirt and exhaust that circulates throughout the building. I'm used to it. Like I said, I've been going to it for 20 years. And this weekend, and what's so cool about it is these aren't just guys that are coming in from California and New Zealand. Like, I mean, it is the case, but you got guys in there that are running in the NASCAR circuit. And I mean, Kyle Larson ended up winning it this weekend, which I wasn't too pleased to see, but Christopher Bell, who's going to be running in the Cup, placed second. And then there's, you know, Justin Allgaier runs in it. And you've got Ricky Stenhouse Jr. runs in it too. And just every year you got big names there. In fact, Jeff Gordon was there for the spectator aspect of it this year. He went and he just was watching the race. So if that doesn't tell you the stage it's on, you got guys like Jeff Gordon, who are the top commentator for NASCAR, coming to this race to watch it. You know, and it's cool that it happens here in Tulsa, just a mile away from where I grew up, a mile away from really where you grew up. So go next year. That's all I can say. If you want to go, I'll go with you. If you don't have anybody to go with, let me know. We'll go watch it, man. $45. I got the pit passes. We got to pick our seats. And what a blast. I had a good time this year. I'm glad I didn't go Saturday night, because I would have been a little upset walking out of there knowing Larson won. But just the environment in general, all the rednecks meeting together to go watch some dirt track racing indoor, which does not happen anywhere, man. You just don't see indoor dirt track races with these cars because there's no venues for it. Everything's outdoors. But even here, the pits are indoors. They're just upstairs. And I don't know. Get on YouTube, check it out. I'll share a link to the Facebook so you guys can see it. I'll share the, see if I can find a race that happened this weekend, and I'll put it up. Hopefully the championship race. I think you guys will enjoy that. I've had a number of conversations over the last week with people who didn't know about it. I showed it to them and they thought, my gosh, that's so cool. I want to go. So hopefully next year we'll be able to get a group of people together to go. It's a lot of beer drinking, a lot of dirt track racing, and it's just nonstop for 2 weeks. I mean, for like 4 or 5 days. So, and it's crazy because there's so many people from out of state that I would say that annually there are more people at that event from outside of Oklahoma than from Oklahoma. And it's a huge economic booster for the city. But yeah, be looking on the Facebook. I'll post a link to a video for the Chili Bowl. Go check it out. A lot of fun. I definitely recommend going.
Cool. Yeah. No, that is an event I would like to go to. Something I've never done. Bucket list. Ah, man. Is there anything else in particular you were thinking?
Yeah, you were looking at something. You were looking at Zion.
I couldn't find a date.
And that's why I said I quit looking, because I've been watching it for the last week and there's nothing set.
I want to say it's Sunday because it's Pelicans Celtics. I think that was a bigger game. I think it's a prime time type game. And that's when they were kind of eyeing it. But yeah, I actually couldn't find a date, which is ridiculous. But
yeah. Well, I mean, we could talk all day, or we could wrap it up, talk a little hockey next week. And
have you caught up at all?
I'm not caught up, but I've been watching. Yeah.
Cool.
Penguins are fighting some serious injuries this year. Sucks, but we'll talk a little more about that next week. I've been currently, it's been an interesting stretch of about 2 weeks, because I just got into a new TV show. And I also bought the 6-pack of the extended series Lord of the Rings. And if you guys are Lord of the Rings fans, you know how long. I mean, the movie, seriously, they're all 4 hours long. I mean, it's like you're halfway through a movie and you're also halfway through the day. So you literally have to spend a full day to watch one of the movies. And I've just been hooked because I've never seen them before. Outside of sports, I definitely recommend that series. Only if you're going to watch the extended cut, I guess. But I mean, like I said, we could talk all day, or we could wrap up and save something for the next time we meet on Thursday.
Yeah, no, I'll have some baseball talk. You'll have some hockey talk next time, and
cool,
we'll be ready to go. So
great. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. If you would run over to our Facebook and give us a like at Hopped On Sports, you can send us an email, hoppedonsports@gmail.com. You can give us a phone call out. No, you can't. Anyways, we really appreciate you guys tuning in. Share the podcast. Leave us a review on iTunes, Spotify, Apple, however you listen, wherever you listen. We would appreciate it. And y'all have a good week. We'll see you Thursday. And cheers.
Cheers, guys.